It's time now for Eccles at 8, sponsored by Vantage Health Plan with Michael Eccles. Michael tackles topics that affect your family and community, such as the state of health care, health and wellness, as well as what's happening in Washington today. And now, Eccles at 8, with your host, Michael Eccles.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. You're tuned in live to Eccles at 8 as we're bringing the latest on business, politics, health care, and folks, we're broadcasting live from Baton Rouge. That's right, at the steps of the state capitol down here in Baton Rouge. We'll be bringing you in-depth political commentary today. We'll be talking with the Hayride, political, conservative, and newsy, all in one little package. We'll be there in just a minute with Scott McKay, as well as multiple other guests today on the show. Folks, if you've got questions for us, remember, call us live, 800-259-1440. And you can go to the web, vantageradio.com, submit your questions online, and we'll get those answered throughout the show today. Do want to thank some of our listening partners in Western Louisiana, KWLA 103.1 FM, and all the brother and sister stations around that market, and KMLB Talk 540 105.7 FM, and all of our friends in Northeast Louisiana and Southern Arkansas. All right, we're going to jump in this morning and hit it where the sun don't shine. Today we've got a special guest in, Scott McKay, founder, publisher of The Hayride. You'll find a lot of his editorials and information being channeled throughout Louisiana newspapers, in particular probably more that are the conservative papers, the minority of papers within the state. But some call him one of the longest-standing conservative pundits on the market as he pontificates on certain Louisiana topics. And we've got him here today to pontificate on several things. We'll let him talk about, too, some of his publishings, books, and several other features. And you're not just a critical conservative pundit. You also write fictional information. Seen several books that are out there. So a unique history. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, tell us, one, about your history in writing. I want people to know just a little bit about you. And then we're going to jump into conservative politics.
Well, I've always been a writer, and when I got out of school, the first real job I guess I had was a friend of mine and I started an LSU sports publication called Purple and Gold Magazine. So I spent my late 20s and early 30s doing that and sort of, you know, dipped my toe in the publishing waters and got to see the market change from print to internet. Which was like not all that much fun as a print publisher. But a few years later, I noticed that there was sort of a hole in the market in Louisiana. That there really wasn't a conservative media source statewide that people could take advantage of. And we didn't have like a Louisiana version of Rush Limbaugh, and we didn't have a, there was certainly no paper of any great size in the state that was right-leaning. And so, you know, we started the Hayride, and we've been at it for, I guess this is year 11, and it's sort of been the most unusual year of the 11, never seen anything like 2020 before, our traffic is way up. You know, we routinely will do, 100,000 page views a day, which I think is probably traffic that we're taking away from the Advocate. Noticing that they're begging for readers at this point, and I guess we're sort of the voice of the opposition on John Bel Edwards, at least over the internet. So that's us.
Well, certainly a rich history. 11 years. That's kind of an infant organization, if you will, in the media market. But every day, new companies are being born. So you actually might be kind of getting old over there, long in the tooth as it relates to conservative politics and pundits, especially with all the changes that are going on, not only in the 2020 and the scenarios we're living through today, which are kind of complex, but even in Louisiana politics, it's an ever-evolving market. And you've got probably one of the most conservative legislatures now than you've ever had. 40-plus new freshmen coming in this past year or this year, both in the House and the Senate, really remaking the bodies, getting rid of some of the old politics, some of even moderates, and moving towards a more, I would contend, a conservative body as a whole. So a lot more to write about from your perspective with that, but also the dynamics have changed just a bit and the power struggles have changed just a bit. You got a Democrat on the fourth floor, then you got the House and the Senate doing the things that they're doing, and right now the ultimate power struggle, and that's whether or not we reopen this economy today. And it's a bizarre scenario, but there are instruments that are floating out there that could do this today. And I think, you know, your thoughts on that as you talk to different readers and talk to different people around the Capitol and where this goes from here.
Well, I've said this, I think if you did a statewide poll and asked people, you know, are you for continuing the shutdowns or reopening the state? You can phrase that question any kind of way you want. You may have a majority for continuing the shutdowns, okay? But in the districts of all these Republicans who got elected last year, whether they were, you know, first-timers or what have you, I don't think that majority exists. I think the majority is for reopening the state right now, and it's a vocal majority at this point. So throughout this almost eight-month debacle that we've had, where, you know, Louisiana's got the worst jobs economy in the country, we are not participating in that V-shaped recovery that you see nationwide. You know, and now we're falling behind. Florida, Mississippi, Tennessee have all opened the state, their states up. Georgia's done it. Texas is making some moves right now that you really can't afford. I think it's starting to become a very obvious thing that, look, this has got to happen. And I think it was one of the justifications for the special session being called was to find a way to get the state reopened. So, you know, you mentioned there's a number of instruments. There are petitions. The way the law is set up, all you need is a majority of one house in the legislature, 53 in the House or 20 in the Senate, to sign a petition to do away with the emergency declaration. You have that. There's a suspensive resolution, HCR 9 is the name of it. It's passed by the House. It's waiting for the Senate. Cannot be vetoed, and it would suspend the state law for 30 days after the end of this special session. That enables Edwards to have an emergency. We're waiting on the Senate to vote on this. If they do, then the state reopens, or at least it should reopen, and then we'll see whether John Bel Edwards will actually take that to court. I heard a really dispiriting theory yesterday as to what exactly would happen. If we have time, maybe we can talk about that, but it was supposed to get a vote yesterday. They put an amendment on it, and they didn't actually vote, which had a whole lot of people that were following this thing, kind of scratching their heads and going, uh-oh, what's going on? Is this Lucy with the football, pulling it away from Charlie Brown as he runs up to kick it? And we'll see. But, I mean, you know, that special session, if it doesn't produce a reopening of the state, there's going to be a lot of political turmoil back in the districts.
Well, certainly a major set of challenges and putting a lot of politicians under pressure. I've contended, and you go back to some Senate testimony, House testimony, and other things that you're seeing out there, there are a lot of reasons why we should be reopening this thing right now. And, I called it artificial yesterday in a hearing, and I think much of it is artificial that is propped up and, it's killing businesses, killing people, literally scaring people to death. But we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. Folks, you're tuned in to Eccles at 8 today. We're in with Scott McKay with the Hayride as we discuss politics, people, and Baton Rouge. That's right, folks. We're broadcasting live from the steps of the Capitol. You're listening to Eccles at 8. We'll be right back.
Be back with a whole lot more. You're listening to News Talk 540 and Eccles at 8 with your host, Michael Eccles.
Hi, I'm Billy Justice with Vantage Health Plan. Medicare annual enrollment is the time frame between October 15th and December 7th when everyone in the nation who has Medicare can change their Medicare options to fit their specific needs. Vantage offers Medicare Advantage plans which include all the same benefits as original Medicare, plus prescription drug coverage and extra benefits like dental, vision, and transportation to and from your doctor appointments. Our member service team is available during open enrollment from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. Call us today at 888-823-1910.
If you miss the good old days of the family pharmacy and you want it back again, then come try St. John Pharmacy, located in beautiful historic downtown Monroe on St. John Street, right off Desired. Hi, my name is Lori, one of the pharmacists here at St. John. We make sure your prescription is filled accurately and in a timely manner. And while you're here, stop by our coffee shop and enjoy a delicious cup of coffee. Remember, at St. John Pharmacy, you're more than a number, you're family. St. John Pharmacy, now open to serve your prescription needs.
Only one candidate in the Supreme Court race has experience as a prosecutor, state representative, district judge, and a court of appeal judge. He has the most judicial experience with 18 years as a judge and the most legal experience with 35 years as an attorney. That candidate is conservative Republican Judge Jay McCallum.
Paid for by Judge Jay McCallum Campaign Committee.
You've got a friend in the title business. A loyal friend who's always there. You've got a friend who understands your need for excellence and care. Protecting your interests. Tenacious, fast, and fair. Bulldog Title Insurance. Old Title. When you need us, we'll be there.
Hi. I'm Billy Justice with Vantage Health Plan. Medicare annual enrollment is the time frame between October 15th and December 7th when everyone in the nation who has Medicare can change their Medicare options to fit their specific needs. Vantage offers Medicare Advantage plans which include all the same benefits as original Medicare, plus prescription drug coverage and extra benefits like dental, vision, and transportation to and from your doctor appointments. We can find a plan that works for you. For more information, call our member services department at 888-823-1910 or visit VantageMedicare.com. Our member service team is available during open enrollment from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. We know that understanding health insurance can be difficult, so we are here to answer your questions. Your call is answered by a local representative who understands your needs and concerns. When it comes to your insurance, choose a locally owned and physician-led health insurance plan that is invested in our community, our people, and you. Check what matters most with Vantage Health Plan.
It's time now for Eccles at 8, sponsored by Vantage Health Plan with Michael Eccles. Michael tackles topics that affect your family and community, such as the state of health care, health and wellness, as well as what's happening in Washington today. And now, Eccles at 8, with your host, Michael Eccles.
Hey folks, we're back. You're tuned in live to Eccles at 8 as we broadcast live from the steps of the state capitol. That's right, folks, down in Baton Rouge today as we discuss the special session, politics, and we're knee-deep today with political and publisher of the Hayride, Scott McKay, as we discuss some of the things going on in Baton Rouge and also the history and politics of Louisiana. We're going to kind of have a last second here on the current state of the shutdown and some of the challenges that we face. And I go back, Scott and I were visiting on the break about some testimony just a week ago about the number of people that are literally being scared to death. We have people dying that should not be dying today because they're too scared to go to the doctor. They're too scared to get out and interact in the public. And look, I've contended all along, much of this is overbaked. We have literally scared people into staying home, not getting the care that they need, not living their lives, but being careful in the process. And I don't want to make light of this because I've had friends that have passed away. I've had, you know, close neighbors and other things that have been victims of this virus. I've had the coronavirus and recovered quite quickly. So, look, I get it. It's a disease state. We got to fight it. But if we don't get back to normal soon, the implications to people with cancer, heart disease, mental health, behavioral health issues is going to be enormous. And the impacts on our state and our state's economy is going to be far greater, a multiple of the deaths that we've seen from COVID, as well as even some of the economic conditions. I mean, the wave is coming. I know you see it, Scott. You talk to other pundits about it. What do you see? What are you hearing from the guys all on the right side of the game?
Well, I mean, the number one thing that needs to be said is earlier this week, the WHO denounced the lockdowns. They said, you know, these things are a bad idea and they should stop. So when you've done that, it kind of takes the justification for the continued locking down of the state's economy. You know, and I at this point, you know, you mentioned all these other things. What's the suicide rate going to look like? What's the homicide rate going to look like? I mean, my entire life, all I've ever heard was that poverty and social isolation are killers, right? And that we spent trillions of dollars to try to solve poverty and social isolation in America, and now it's public policy, right? So there's no way this turns out well, and I think people don't really have a wide view of exactly what this lockdown and this whole COVID thing has done to our state. I mean, you can see the businesses with the boarded up windows. You know, you can see your neighbors putting their house up for sale because they're picking up and moving. One of the metrics that I look at very often, because we're not going to find out until later this year what the census report is on out-migration, but if you go to U-Haul's website and you do the little calculator where I'm going to rent a truck in New Orleans and I'm going to drop it off in Houston, for example, and then you flip those two cities back, what you find is getting out of Louisiana is twice as expensive as moving in, which – when the numbers are that stark, it means you have an exodus going on. You have got people picking up and leaving the state because they lost their job and they're now an economic free agent. They go where the money is, and the money's not in Louisiana. And for a whole lot of people, the job is what was keeping them here, because the quality of life and all these other issues that we've dealt with for years and years and years, you know, when the job's gone, let's go to Nashville. Let's go to Tampa. Let's go to Houston. And you're not competitive with any of those places, particularly when Tennessee and Florida and these places, they're open and we're not. So this is starting to become a critical mass type of thing. And people don't see it now because they've been, you know, put into hysteria over COVID. But at some point that's going to fade away and everybody's going to look around and they're going to go, oh, my God, what's left of Louisiana? And the answer is going to be not much. I mean, there's an estimate out there that says 45% of the businesses in the New Orleans area are going to close forever. Okay? Now, maybe some of these people
should be open. I drove it earlier this week. I drove through the French Quarter, drove through Mid-City just to look and see. And it was startling, the number of for lease and for sale signs, boarded up businesses, restaurants. You talk to the Restaurant Association, they would contend that 45% to 50% of all restaurants in New Orleans will close for good, which if you think about it, tourism, they're projecting at least five years before tourism gets back to even close to what it was before the shutdown. You're talking millions and just billions of dollars in tax revenues that are gone for good, not to mention families' lives upended, people pulling out, moving to other cities that are more progressive. Again, I called it an artificial shutdown. We are so deep into an artificial strangulation of our economy right now, it is mind-numbing to see. So it hurts my heart to see this with Louisiana and businesses. I think we need to step it up, different set of tactics to address this situation, because it's too far baked. We got to fix it now. Q1, Q2 of 2021 could be an absolute disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at an economic rout, because when those people pick up and leave, you don't have people to do the jobs, right? I mean, these are not people that are sitting around on a front stoop getting a government check that are picking up and leaving. Those people, their lives haven't really changed. That check keeps coming. But if you're working, you're going to lose engineers, you're going to lose chefs, you're going to lose, you know, professional people.
The creative economy.
Yeah, I mean, the productive folks actually make your economy go. You're not going to have them. And once they're gone, they're probably not going to come back. So, you know, what you're doing is you're putting a ceiling on the amount of economic growth that you can have, because to get those kinds of people back into your economy, you're going to have to bring them in from other states that you're way behind already. So this thing happened at the worst possible time, because Louisiana was already in an economic problem. I mean, if you go back to the Q1 GDP figure in the state, okay, in the first quarter, the last 2 weeks of March are the only two that really involved COVID, okay? Louisiana was -6% in the first quarter. So we were already shrinking before COVID came along. Texas's same number was -2.5%. So you got a 3.5% hit to your economy that probably didn't involve COVID. So you're already in trouble, and then this thing comes along, and you lock the state down, probably worse than anybody else in the South, and you're keeping that lockdown going. I mean, there's no reason why people would live here. They're going to move. And when all of this is over and people get to look around, sort of like getting out of the storm cellar after the tornado has hit, you know, they're going to be like, oh, my God. This special session that's going on now has got to result in reopening of the economy.
Absolutely. Near disaster. Well, let's transition now to something maybe a little more positive, and that is a Supreme Court nomination process happening right now. Amy Coney Barrett, who's been a rock star so far throughout these hearings. I'm talking solid to a T, even with the holding up of the white piece of paper, all her notes and not a lick of writing on them. She's coming straight off of her institutional knowledge, the rich history. You can tell the education is just second to none. And you get the clown-like activities from some of the senators and the questions that they ask. It really is an oversimplification of how simple they are in their worlds, and it makes no sense to me why they're giving this lady such a hard time. She's brilliant. She'll make a great nominee. What are you hearing? What are you seeing from your colleagues in this space?
Well, obviously, she's going to get confirmed. The votes are there. I mean, you had some Republicans that expressed, well, I guess Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and I guess at one point Mitt Romney expressed reticence to confirm someone this close to the election. Now that you've had these hearings and seen how Barrett has performed, every single Republican is going to vote to confirm her.
They would be buffoons not to.
I mean, Lisa Murkowski, as a woman, cannot look at what Amy Barrett has done and not vote to confirm. Then you got people like Doug Jones in Alabama.
Tough races.
Who, like, is going to lose to Tommy Tuberville. The only hope he's got would be to actually support Barrett's confirmation. And then Joe Manchin, who voted for her before when she was up for the Seventh Circuit. So, you know, you may end up having a bipartisan confirmation vote to take her in. And that, you know, they're going to be really, really hard-pressed to keep Manchin and Jones from voting yes. And if either one of them does, this whole thing just collapses on the Democrats. And they look, I mean, the last thing I would have wanted was to put Mazie Hirono asking questions to Amy Barrett. I mean, that looked like, you know, this is a Democrat woman and this is a Republican woman. That, basically, that's what that
boiled down. It aligned the parties with who's got what, and the Democrats totally missed.
Well, and, you know, and to be honest, Kamala Harris was not a whole hell of a lot better. So, you know, it's a real problem for them in that, you know, you're failing on the competence piece, right? Their entire thing has been that, you know, Trump is, he tweets and he does these stupid things and all this
kind of stuff.
Right. And, you know, and he's this and he's that. Well, then he nominates Barrett, who is as straight-laced and locked down as you can get in terms of somebody that really knows her stuff. You know, doesn't have a briefing book or anything, walks in there off the top of her head, knocks these questions out of the park. And your response to that is that you're going to show Mazie Hirono and Kamala Harris, who, by the way, is your vice presidential nominee. Your presidential nominee thinks he's running for the Senate, doesn't remember who Mitt Romney is. I mean, like, on the basic competence piece, it starts to look really bad.
Folks, we're talking with Scott McKay today with The Hayride. Scott, just for listeners and folks that are interested to find out more about you and The Hayride, we've only got about 30 seconds left in this segment. Can you give us just some more background and such? It's been a good conversation so far.
Sure. Well, I obviously want to, if you want to see The Hayride, just go to thehayride.com. I also write a couple of times a week, I write a column for The American Spectator, which is at spectator.org. Otherwise, you know, follow us on Facebook and not so much on Twitter, but a little bit on Parler. And we're actually starting our own social media app called The Speakeasy. More on that as time goes by.
Folks, you're tuned in live to Eccles at 8 today. We're broadcasting from Baton Rouge. We'll be on next segment with Ag Commissioner Mike Strain as we talk about commerce, international trade, and what's happening with Louisiana poultry and products. Stay tuned for that and much more. You're listening to Eccles at 8. We'll be right back.
Talking is what he does for a living. It's Michael Eccles and Eccles at 8 on News Talk 540. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Billy Justice with Vantage Health Plan. Medicare annual enrollment is the time frame between October 15th and December 7th when everyone in the nation who has Medicare can change their Medicare options to fit their specific needs. Vantage offers Medicare Advantage plans which include all the same benefits as original Medicare, plus prescription drug coverage and extra benefits like dental, vision, and transportation to and from your doctor appointments. Our member service team is available during open enrollment from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. Call us today at 888-823-1910.
If you miss the good old days of the family pharmacy and you want it back again, then come try St. John Pharmacy, located in beautiful historic downtown Monroe on St. John Street, right off Desired. Hi, my name is Lori, one of the pharmacists here at St. John. We make sure your prescription is filled accurately and in a timely manner. And while you're here, stop by our coffee shop and enjoy a delicious cup of coffee. Remember, at St. John Pharmacy, you're more than a number, you're family. St. John Pharmacy, now open to serve your prescription needs.
Only one candidate in the Supreme Court race has experience as a prosecutor, a state representative, a district judge, and a court of appeal judge. He has the most judicial experience with 18 years as a judge, and the most legal experience with 35 years as an attorney. That candidate is conservative Republican Judge Jay McCallum.
Paid for by Judge Jay McCallum Campaign Committee.
You've got a friend in the title business. A loyal friend who's always there. When the time you've got a friend who understands your need for excellence and care. Protecting your interests. Tenacious, fast, and fair. Bulldog Title Insurance. Dog Title. When you need us, we'll be there.
Hi. I'm Billy Justice with Vantage Health Plan. Medicare annual enrollment is the time frame between October 15th and December 7th when everyone in the nation who has Medicare can change their Medicare options to fit their specific needs. Vantage offers Medicare Advantage plans which include all the same benefits as original Medicare, plus prescription drug coverage and extra benefits like dental, vision, and transportation to and from your doctor appointments. We can find a plan that works for you. For more information, call our Member Services Department at 888-823-1910 or visit VantageMedicare.com. Our member service team is available during open enrollment from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. We know that understanding health insurance can be difficult, so we are here to answer your questions. Your call is answered by a local representative who understands your needs and concerns. When it comes to your insurance, choose a locally owned and physician-led health insurance plan that is invested in our community, our people, and you. Check what matters most with Vantage Health Plan.
It's time now for Eccles at 8, sponsored by Vantage Health Plan with Michael Eccles. Michael tackles topics that affect your family and community, such as the state of health care, health and wellness, as well as what's happening in Washington today. And now, Eccles at 8, with your host, Michael Eccles.
Hey folks, we're back. You're tuned in live to Eccles at 8 as we broadcast live from Baton Rouge this morning. If you have questions for us, call us, 800-259-1440. You can also go on the web, VantageRadio.com, become a Facebook friend, submit your questions online, and of course, listen to previous shows and find out about future guests. I want to thank all of our listeners across the state, KWLA 103.1 FM, KMLB Talk 540, and 105.7 FM. This segment of the show, we're going to be talking commerce, international commerce, from the foothills of South Louisiana to the snow-capped mountains of the north. Lots of produce, poultry, and other products that are being born and raised and shipped out around the world. And this morning we've got our very own Ag Commissioner who's here to talk a little bit more about some of that international trade. Commissioner Strain, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Representative Eccles. How are you doing?
Man, it's outstanding here in a beautiful day in Baton Rouge, and hopefully we get a little progress and policy done for the citizens of our great state.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got a little cool front coming. You know, a lot of areas are going to see a 40-degree drop in temperature between Thursday and Friday. Hopefully that will cool off the Gulf of Mexico, too.
It wouldn't bother me if we had no more hurricanes for the next 50 years. Two is too many in the last several weeks, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Let's talk about Hurricane Delta, the impacts on the state, the farming community, not to mention the timber community. Give us the five and out on what you're seeing in your space and how it's impacted Louisianans that are ag producers.
We have our Forrester aircraft in the air doing mapping now, similar to what we did after Hurricane Laura, and then we're going to overlay those maps to see what the increased damage is between the two storms. Hurricane Laura hit our agricultural industries at about $2 billion, most of that in timber, about $1.1 to $1.2 billion in direct damage, plus an additional $350 million to clean it up and replant those lands, you know, around 757,000 acres, 20 million tons of wood on the ground, most of which cannot be salvaged. Overall in the crop probably hit hardest from Hurricane Delta was rice. Talking to our rice farmers, they tell you it looks like they took a cutter head and just cut the rice off the ratoon crop. And so we've lost a lot of that, and that comes on the heels, you know, where some of our farmers got hit very hard in the rice industry, about $30 million worth, you know, from Hurricane Laura. And then we had about $6 million worth of rice got destroyed when the grain holding bins got the tops blown off of it. Overall, with Hurricane Laura, we had about $500 million, $500 million damage, direct damage to agricultural infrastructure, barns, elevators, some of our rice mills and other things, and now we have Delta on top of that. And so we're trying to get an analysis to see, you know, what the overall costs were. But I think when you add the two together, you know, we are well over $2 billion in direct losses and costs. So they are significant. And Hurricane Laura was the hardest storm to hit Louisiana's coast in more than 100 years, and it ranks right there with the storm they call the Storm of the Last Island in the 1800s. And then you had Delta come in and landed within 6 miles of where Laura hit, you know, and it landed, you know, between Creole, around the Creole area there, right there on the coast in southwest Louisiana. And it was a more narrowly defined storm, but with tremendous impacts. We had 9-foot tidal surges and recorded wind of 100 miles an hour. And so, you know, a lot of our people have taken it on the chin, and our hearts and prayers go out to everyone. We're getting those assessments together, but most crops were affected. And what happened with Delta is we got a lot of rain, and a lot of rain, you know, at a time where we're now trying to harvest our sugarcane. Sugarcane got hit twice. And so what we're going to see, you know, we're out there, but thank goodness we have the new technology and the better technology to harvest the sugarcane. So even if it's laying over, we can pick it back up and harvest it. But you have greater harvest costs. We'll probably have $50 to $75 million in increased harvest costs for all of our commodities because of the field conditions and the way the plants are standing. So we're harvesting sugarcane, and it got hit twice. So you may have, you know, a little bit lower sugar per ton because it takes energy for the plant to withstand that. We've got a little more moisture, a lot more moisture in our soybeans, and as you know, soybeans have to be dry. And then again, you know, some of our corn crops got hit pretty hard. And hay and fencing and cattle, you know, we had about 130 to 150 cattle deaths directly, and some of those deaths were due to the mosquitoes, a huge outbreak of the flood mosquito, which resulted in suffocation in our livestock. But we're getting all those numbers together. The enumerators are getting out there. The Ag Center, LSU Ag Center, does a tremendous job getting the information together. We've been working with our federal partners, and also I gave a presentation to the House Ag Committee this week on that information, and we're going to be working to get assistance for our farmers, ranchers, and our fishermen.
Let's talk about that. One of the big things as we go through this challenge is going to be working with FEMA, but bigger than that, working with Congress to try to find both resources and then continuing to find resources to help with burying power lines, building structures to prevent the massive damage and storm surge that you see out of the Gulf when this happens. Where are we with our congressional delegation? Is there a hope or an expectation that in potentially CARES 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, that some of these dollars could be allocated there to assist with starting to modernize Louisiana where it doesn't get impacted again and again and again in these same ways?
And I think we have to look at it from multiple points, not only from the CARES Act, but also from our offshore oil revenues. You know, the Louisiana coast is America's coast. 28% of all the energy that comes in the United States comes in through our coastline. And, you know, we have more wetlands, you know, in Louisiana than in any other state. And the majority of wetlands lost in the United States is in Louisiana. You know, we've lost our wetlands in the search for energy and the search for oil and the search for industrialization for America. And putting up the levees on the Mississippi River changed the way the water flows. And now we're seeing the consequences, you know, 100 years later. And so these dollars have to flow. Because you're right, we cannot withstand these storms and these tidal surges, and we have, you know, to deal with the problem. And the problem is a $50 to $100 billion problem. You know, so it is a huge issue that we have to work, and there are a number of different, you know, task forces that are in place, but it's going to take dollars to do that, but it's going to take dollars committed over a lifetime. And it's not, you know, a single appropriation is just a start to truly deal with the issue of coastal loss and restoration. The monies we're asking for the Emergency Forest Restoration Program, the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, the Livestock Indemnity Program, these USDA programs, those monies are there and are come through the Commodity Credit Corporation currently, but we'll be asking for more than $350 million for those programs alone, and that does not deal directly with compensation for crop damages or anything, you know, other than with livestock. That's just to try to get things rehabilitated, to get that fuel cleaned up. And if you look at the timber industry, you know, 757,000 acres, 20 million tons of fuel on the ground, our number one concern, you know, is after we deal with the actual dollar loss and the economic loss is now fire and disease. So you think about how much fuel's on the ground, and you think about how much land
ready to go up.
That is, it's huge.
Well, as we start to deal with that challenge, I know you're going to have to go in and selectively harvest some of this wood on the ground. Will any of that, and I know it's going to take a year, 2 years, 3 years, to get that just huge amount of timber out and out of there, will it still, some of it still be good? Can some of it be harvested, or is this just a total loss?
Well, some of it can be used for pulp and paper, and yesterday afternoon, you know, we have a forestry roundtable that we do, and that's by the Louisiana Forestry Association, talking about a lot of the wood now already has what they call the blue fungus in it. And most of that wood cannot be used for saw timber because the trees were fractured. They were broken. They're cracked. And so that wood is not good for that. So you have to go into pulp or in energy. So if you look at companies such as Drax, and remember, you know, Drax, when they first came in, they were going to do about 600,000 metric tons a year. They're 1.6 million metric tons a year shipping that product across the world, mostly into England and others. But we got 20 million tons. 20 million tons. You know, so that's a 15-year supply if every bit of it was going into pellets and then being sent offshore. And we simply don't have the markets for pulp and paper. So the bottom line is we expect between 3 and 10% of the wood that is on the ground to be utilized in commerce. The rest, what we have to do, we're going to have to push it up with bulldozers, windrow it, and with prescribed burners, we're going to have to go ahead and burn it and then replant the land. And so we're going to have to do it, and we're going to have foresters there. We're trying to get enough personnel. Our team, our Department of Ag and Forestry, the Forestry Division, is working with the USDA on the, you know, the Emergency Forest Restoration Program to use our foresters, and we're also going to be working with consultant foresters to get enough boots on the ground to try to get this in motion. And but you're talking about, you know, think about the massive logistics there. You know, you're talking about a million tractor trailer loads. A million.
And it's a huge logistical challenge with the thousands of people and resources you're going to have to get it done. Commissioner, we need to take a quick commercial break. Folks, you're listening to Eccles at 8. We're on with Ag Commissioner Mike Strain. When we come back, I want to talk about deep water ports, how it's going to impact Louisiana, and some dredging that's going on. Stay tuned for that and much more. We'll be right back.
He puts up, and he never shuts up. It's Michael Eccles and Eccles at 8 on News Talk 540. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Billy Justice with Vantage Health Plan. Medicare annual enrollment is the time frame between October 15th and December 7th when everyone in the nation who has Medicare can change their Medicare options to fit their specific needs. Vantage offers Medicare Advantage plans which include all the same benefits as original Medicare, plus prescription drug coverage and extra benefits like dental, vision, and transportation to and from your doctor appointments. Our member service team is available during open enrollment from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week. Call us today at 888-823-1910.
If you miss the good old days of the family pharmacy and you want it back again, then come try St. John Pharmacy, located in beautiful historic downtown Monroe on St. John Street, right off Deviard. Hi, my name is Lori, one of the pharmacists here at St. John. We make sure your prescription is filled accurately and in a timely manner. And while you're here, stop by our coffee shop and enjoy a delicious cup of coffee. Remember, at St. John Pharmacy, you're more than a number, you're family. St. John Pharmacy, now open to serve your prescription needs.
Only one candidate in the Supreme Court race has experience as a prosecutor, a state representative, a district judge, and a court of appeal judge. He has the most judicial experience with 18 years as a judge, and the most legal experience with 35 years as an attorney. That candidate is conservative Republican Judge Jay McCallum.
Paid for by Judge Jay McCallum Campaign Committee.
You've got a friend in the title business, a loyal friend who's always there. You've got a friend who understands your need for excellence and care. Protecting your interests, tenacious, fast, and fair. Bulldog Title Insurance, all title. When you need us, we'll be there.
Hi. I'm Billy Justice with Vantage Health Plan. Medicare annual enrollment is the time frame between October 15th and December 7th when everyone in the nation who has Medicare can change their Medicare options to fit their specific needs. Vantage offers Medicare Advantage plans which include all the same benefits as original Medicare, plus prescription drug coverage and extra benefits like dental, vision, and transportation to and from your doctor appointments. We can find a plan that works for you. For more information, call our Member Services Department at 888-823-1910 or visit VantageMedicare.com. Our member service team is available during open enrollment from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week. We know that understanding health insurance can be difficult, so we are here to answer your questions. Your call is answered by a local representative who understands your needs and concerns. When it comes to your insurance, choose a locally owned and physician-led health insurance plan that is invested in our community, our people, and you. Check what matters most with Vantage Health Plan.
It's time now for Eccles at 8, sponsored by Vantage Health Plan with Michael Eccles. Michael tackles topics that affect your family and community, such as the state of health care, health and wellness, as well as what's happening in Washington today. And now, Eccles at 8, with your host, Michael Eccles.
Hey folks, we're back. You're tuned in live to Eccles at 8, broadcasting from Baton Rouge today as we discuss some of the policies as well as problems impacting the great state. We're on the line with Ag Commissioner Mike Strain as we kind of assess what's been going on in the forestry timber industry post-Delta, post-Laura, and what it means to our state. Commissioner, though, let's jump on over to our ports. Just recently, some funding coming through to be able to dredge out the Mississippi River and some of but maybe its tributaries, to provide a greater means of commerce for the state. Let us know what that is and what it means to our products and different things that will be shipped out of Louisiana.
That's a huge initiative. You know, we began discussing of that in the initial White House Infrastructure Summit in 2015 there in Washington. And it's really, you know, the fact that it's now finally coming through to fruition. It's a $250 million project, and it's about 75-80% federal money with state matching money. And we've identified and we've allocated our matching money, and it's in multiple phases. The first phase is from what we call head of passes, which means the mouth of the river and the first 10 miles. That's over $100 million, and it will free up the next 50 miles of river. But the goal is to bring it to 50 feet all the way to Baton Rouge. And why? It's for the new big ships. And the great thing that's going on now as the world economy is starting to move forward, you've seen everything. You've seen the stock market run. You've seen the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P. Oil is starting to move up in a positive direction. Also, we are shipping more and more goods. What it means? It means a lot more traffic on the Mississippi River. And the Mississippi River is the gateway to the world. You know, if you take a look at the Port of South Louisiana, that does not include Baton Rouge and New Orleans or below. That's the largest tonnage port system in this hemisphere. And so if you go from Baton Rouge to New Orleans, that's the largest tonnage port system in the world. And right now, about 60% of the grain that's being exported from the United States to the world comes down the Mississippi River. When this is completed, that will go up to almost 70% or 75%. Think about that. Three-quarters of the grain exported from the United States will start being loaded on ships from Baton Rouge on down. It's a huge economic engine. And every foot draft that we can put on those vessels means $1 million to that ship. So if we can increase it that's another $5 million in cargo per ship. And so if we're going to be, you know, competing in the world marketplace with the very large container vessels, the very large, you know, tankers with our petrochemical industry, this is critical. And it's something we've been working on very hard, and it is going to make a huge difference. We're also investing in infrastructure. I've been working with the state and the federal government. We've got great partners in both and with the legislature for investments in our ports. You know, the rail systems going into Baton Rouge, the expansion of the Port of Baton Rouge, the expansion of the Port of New Orleans, the expansion. You know, you got projects. You got $2 billion worth of projects, most of which privately funded at the Port of South Louisiana alone. Now, we do have some issues. You know, we're working to try to get enough dredging at the Port of Lake Providence right now. That is a big issue because, again, so we don't have to sharp load those barges. So we need to invest money all up and down that river system. But it's just like building a highway. I mean, that's the highway infrastructure for economic development. And the world is heating up. If you saw the reports in the last couple of days, China now is going to unload their warehouses of all the cotton they've had in storage since 2011, 2012, and 2013. They're taking that out, and now they're buying world cotton and American cotton to replace that in their warehouses. They buy 60% of the cotton that's exported worldwide. China buys it. And so they held that for a long time, and now that their economy is heating up, they can afford to take that higher-priced cotton out of their warehouses and then buy cotton at today's market, because they've got up to $2 a pound invested in the cotton that they have in those warehouses. They're also buying more rice, more proteins, more soybeans, and the world is starting to heat up. And if you look at what's going on, Brazil sold so much rice there onto the European continent and also into India and those markets. Now they're buying rice from us because they have a rice deficit. And so all of our commodities, it's heating up. And how do we get these commodities to the world? It's through our ports. And that is when you talk about infrastructure, you want to turn the wheels of Louisiana's economy. 5 of the 14 largest ports in the United States are in Louisiana. That is economic development, and those dollars flow everywhere. Another thing that we're doing is that I sit on a number of advisory task force and council. One is rural revitalization, and the other is the Louisiana resiliency secondary to COVID. And a big part of what we're doing is identify our natural resources, because you've heard me say over and over and over, the natural resource-based industries, ag, forestry, aquaculture, oil, gas, mining, minerals, those are the foundational industries of our economy. So we're looking at how do we add value? How do we process that? How do we get those jobs into those processing? How do we make additional dollars from our natural resources and not just send them out and ship them? Use everything within our wheelhouse here to grow the economy. And we're going to grow the economy in Louisiana, but we got to grow it starting from that rural and suburban base, because that's where the natural resources predominantly are, and then move it out through the ports and the cities and that sort of thing. So there's a tremendous amount going on.
Well, definitely a big opportunity for the state. You and I talk about this often, and I'll repeat it again. When you look at North Louisiana and really all parts of the state, the rural parts of the state, infrastructure is a critical need to get the crops out of the fields, to be able to develop production facilities and then get those produced or highly processed products into the rail cars, onto the ships, and then out of our state and to around the world. How do we refocus in and get the dollars we need for those rural markets to build that critical infrastructure, to produce products, and to get it out of our state?
You know, if you look at the 5th Congressional District, based, you know, from northeast Louisiana all the way down into Florida parishes, that is the largest row crop district in America. I'm going to repeat that. The largest row crop district in America. And, you know, when our grandfathers were in politics, you know, the majority of the state budget then, more than 50% went to infrastructure. We have to refocus. And what we're going to have to do through the rural caucus and the other delegations, we're going to have to stand shoulder to shoulder and say, look, we're going to build infrastructure. We build infrastructure, we will earn our way forward to pay for the other things, the important social programs that we have to have, education, health care, whatever. But we cannot neglect infrastructure, because it is infrastructure that provides the path for the economics to grow the base, and so that we can then have those dollars for other things. But we're going to have to bite the bullet. We're going to have to sit down and say, okay, you know, it may not be politically popular, but we're going to talk about infrastructure, and we're going to have to invest in that infrastructure. And bear in mind, now's a good time to do it. You know, one of the big issues that we face dealing with the national infrastructure plan was the fact it would take you 10 to 20 years to get a permit. That's over. You know, the president and the administration has fixed that. Now there's a rapid review process on state and federal projects to get it done. We need to get it done, and we need to make those investments, because that's the future. And if we don't, what's going to happen? We're going to fall behind. And we fall too far behind, we're going to lose our customer base. And so it's important that we all stand up and make that happen.
Well, certainly a big set of issues, and something that both the legislature, administration, and other public officials will have to focus in on. Numerous meetings happening with rural caucuses now around the state, you leading the charge as it relates to that coalition that's trying to redevelop and revitalize some of our rural markets. So, Commissioner, we appreciate your service, what you're doing in the state, and, of course, always being available to talk with us here on Eccles at 8.
And I appreciate your assistance in the legislature. We got a good team. We got a long way to go. Right? How do they say, a long way to go and a short time to get there?
I've heard a song about that, so we appreciate you, Commissioner.
Yes, but you don't want me to sing. And so I'll be headed to St. Mary Parish today in Franklin, and we'll be going to be talking about economic development there and the port, you know, in the port on West St. Mary today.
Commissioner Mike Strain, thanks for coming on today.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, folks, we're out of time today on Eccles at 8. Been a lively show. Jeff McKay with the Hayride on the first segment. Second segment, Mike Strain. If you're just joining us now, we'll have the show up later today on VantageRadio.com. Remember, you can tune in there or our iHeartRadio affiliates to listen to Eccles at 8 each and every Wednesday. We come on at 8 o'clock, Eccles at 8 on Wednesdays. Going on now, we're starting our 20th year. That's right. We've been on for 19, moving into that 20 category, and it has been an interesting ride, to say the least. But remember, tune in each and every Wednesday here on Talk 540 for Eccles at 8. All of our brother and sister stations. I want to thank our listeners in Western Louisiana, 103.1 KWLA, Joe Dumas and affiliates working with us to get our broadcast done on the western part of Louisiana. And then on KMLB, Talk 540, 105.7 FM in Eastern Louisiana. We'll see you guys next week. Be good, be safe, and don't forget to call your elected officials. Tell them to open the state. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Eccles at 8, sponsored by Vantage Health Plan, with your host, Michael Eccles. For more information on Eccles at 8, or for more news, commentary, and recent shows you may have missed, visit VantageRadio.com.